she started across the... And I was the one that got reported.
Right.
And
councillors? Yeah, just in there. 5.30, I'll declare our meeting open. I'd like to welcome everyone, particularly the members of the public gallery. Welcome. And I'd also like to commence our meeting by acknowledging the Gumbangia people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. Thank you. I also need to remind everyone that this meeting is being webcast, so those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory comments, because the recordings will be posted publicly on the Council's website. And I'll also ask that if you have a mobile phone with you, could you switch it to silent, please? First of all, do we have any apologies?
No, Madam Mayor, I have no apologies.
Thank you. In that case, I'll invite Pastor Tim Turner from the Seventh-day Adventist Church from Nambucca Heads to come forward and lead us in prayer on behalf of the Nambucca Ministers Association.
Hi, good evening, Madam Mayor, councillors, senior staff, and all present. Let's pray. God, whom we owe everything, you are the creator, you're the one who has brought us into this time and this place. We're not a bunch of ants. You love us, even though sometimes we don't love you back. And even those who really hate you, you still love them. Father, we are asking for your wisdom now. We want to make this place better. We want the flourishing of our valley. We wish things to go ahead that are going to be a benefit to all those involved and the residents here. And so we just ask, please, for your wisdom, your guidance, and your presence here, that you may be able to help those who don't love you through the actions of those who do, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Disclosures of interest.
No, Madam Mayor, I have received no disclosures of interest.
Thank you. Confirmation of the minutes, councillors, from the ordinary meeting of the 13th of June. Moved, Councillor Jones. Seconded, Councillor Ballengarry. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. No notices of motion as such. Public forum. And we have a speaker in the public forum tonight. And it's Ms. Leanne. Ms. Leanne Gourlay. Gourlay. Oh. Thought I'd get at least one of them right. Ms. Gourlay is addressing council regarding a petition that she's organised and collected for an all-leash dog park. Welcome.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and councillors. Thank you for the opportunity to bring to your attention the demonstrable need for a fully fenced off-leash dog park in Nambucca Heads. In bringing this issue to your attention, it's important to first note a few statistics. In January 2023, the RSPCA reported that 48% of households in Australia own a dog. Closer to home, in the first quarter of 2024, the Office of Local Government reports that there were 10,541 microchip dogs residing in the Nambucca Valley. And most importantly, the petition submitted to you containing 580 signatures of people supporting the need for this facility. Keeping these numbers in mind, it is clear that our community has many dog owners who want and would benefit from a designated, fenced, off-leash dog park where dogs can exercise and socialise safely. The current off-leash areas, Swimming Creek and Stewart Island, are not safe or accessible for many dog owners, especially those with smaller dogs or for those with mobility issues due to the uneven surface and, in the case of Swimming Creek, four-wheel drive vehicles. Fully fenced off-leash dog parks not only provide physical and mental stimulation for dogs, but also foster community engagement amongst pet owners, especially those with mobility issues, the elderly and those living alone. Further benefits include the reduction in dog owners letting their dogs off-leash in other recreational areas and infringing on the rights and safety of other residents and park users. Fenced dog parks provide an outlet for natural dog behaviours such as running, chasing, playing and barking, with the result that the dog is less likely to engage in such behaviours at home, therefore reducing the likelihood of being a neighbourhood nuisance. And finally, a fully fenced off-leash dog park is an attractive amenity for travellers with dogs, in some cases making the difference between them stopping or passing us by. In closing, I'd like to add that many towns in New South Wales and other states and territories, including those with smaller populations, have been enjoying these benefits for many years. I urge you to address the obvious need for this resource in our town for the benefits of our residents and visitors. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions for our speaker?
Could I ask, Madam Mayor, have you visited other off-leash dog parks around?
Yes, I have.
Can you just tell us what that sort of experience was like and how the dogs went with the other dogs and, you know?
So I've been to a smaller style dog park at Harrington in New South Wales. There was only one other dog there at the time, so that wasn't an issue. And then a larger one at Coffs Harbour. You've also got the two sides. So you've got the any dog size, is what they prefer to say, any dog, and then another side for quiet or smaller sized dogs. And that does seem to work better. That's another sort of issue with the Swimming Creek Stewart Island. You get the bigger dogs, and a lot of our residents have smaller dogs.
One more. How much of an issue are the four-wheel drives on Swimming Creek?
Weekends, they can be an issue. I had one lady who signed the petition. She said to me that she was walking her smallish dog along Swimming Creek and I won't say what she actually called the young man, pulled up in his big black ute and let out three big dogs and they just targeted her little dog. And she was fast enough to pick him up, but they were jumping on her and So it is a real safety concern. Thank you.
Now, Councillor Janvey.
Ms. Scawley, have you put any thought into, like in Nambucca or Maxville or where you might, is an ideal place for a dog park?
I have, but ultimately I left that really up to council.
No, but I'd still like to hear your thoughts because you've been thinking about this and been in this space.
And doing laps of Nambucca Heads. Nambucca Heads is where I centred the petition and where I sort of found one spot was EJ Biffin Playing Fields on the northwest corner or section. There's big shade trees there. It's reasonably level. There's plenty of parking already. There is some houses there, but not a lot. So that was one spot. There was other spots that were considered, but there was no parking or there was too many houses, too many residential properties around, which would be a problem with dogs barking and playing. So EJ Biffin was the one that sort of seemed to be the most suitable from my point of view.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. No other questions? Thank you, Ms. Gourlay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and councillors. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, can we call for a report from staff?
That's the only motion we can move from a public forum. But yes, you can certainly move that we receive a report.
I'd like to move that we receive a report, please, if I can get a seconder.
Councillor Janvey, is your microphone close?
Yes. It's now. Sorry, I'll pull it closer.
I just want to remind everyone, and also councillors, can you wait till I... Just say your name, please, only for the purposes of the recording so that anyone who isn't present but is listening knows who it actually is who's speaking. Yeah, so if you can just make sure that you're close to your microphones because otherwise the recording doesn't pick it up.
I'm happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Have we got the wording?
Into an off-leash dog park.
I think the key is fenced.
Yes, I suppose so. Well, just by way of comment on that, my son has a dog and goes to off-leash dog parks down in Melbourne, and I totally get the socialising experience both for dogs and pet owners. But some of the dog parks down there aren't fenced, like they're sporting fields, but they're off-leash. But, yeah, I get the need for a fenced area as well.
Councillor Janvey, can I just ask, do you want council staff to look at potential locations as well?
Yes, please, yes. We had our...
And are we talking Nambucca and Maxwell?
Yeah. I can remember a report in the past from our planning department on this issue, so, yeah.
Well, now that it's a motion on the floor, we can discuss it more broadly. Yes, this issue has come up in the past, and it was quite a few years ago. And I don't know whether the advice and recommendations have changed, but back then, and I think we actually had a petition, and it was for a small, long, narrow fenced area, and I have a feeling from memory that it was down at the Bellwood Park area. And it was specifically for small dogs. But at the time, the recommendation was that that's not good for the dogs because being in a small enclosed space, they need that fight or flight possibility, and that very small fenced dog parks actually create aggression amongst the dogs and can stress small or very quiet animals. But I think this is... and particularly that area that our speaker referred to, I think there's sort of significant space more or less behind the Newville cottages up that end. I think that's where our speaker was referring to, that as far as I'm aware is not used by Little Athletics or any of the sporting groups. So perhaps something larger would be a possibility. But I'm sure staff, in considering a report, staff will do the research on that. Yeah, so,
very quickly.
So just potential locations within the valley allows the staff to look far and wide.
Madam Mayor, I know the notes are placed on 32231. I know we've seen the petition, but is it noted as well officially through all this? Like, I know we've got...
Yes.
It's all officially noted to back this up for the report?
Yeah, I think you'll find that number is actually the... record number.
It's actually a petition?
It's a council record system number for the document where it's been scanned and recorded in our record system.
Yeah.
Yes. Which any correspondence either mailed, emailed or handed over the counter.
Yeah.
That's the first place it goes.
Terrific.
Councillor Vance.
Madam Mayor, I'm in support of the report. I personally lived in an estate in Brisbane. And I just checked today, they've got 6 dog parks in one estate. What they traditionally did was they put them next to kids' play areas. So you could take the kids' play, the dogs can play as well. So maybe Bellwood Park would be a good, like it's nice and flat. There's lots of area there to put it in. Yeah.
Right, councillors, well, we have a motion on the floor. If there's no further discussion, I'm going to put it. Those in favour? Against, carried unanimously. And our speaker will be notified when the report comes back to council. Yes. Thank you. We also have delegations to my questions with notice, and our first speaker, so it's item 7.1 on page 22, and the first speaker is Ms. Carol Anderson. And Ms. Anderson is speaking on behalf of the Valley Beach Community Association Committee of Management. And our other speaker is Melissa. Melissa Hilson, and you'll be speaking after Carol. I wasn't quite sure whether you were sharing a presentation or whether it was moral support.
Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine. Yeah, thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, all councillors and council staff. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Carol Anderson, if you do not know me. I'm speaking not only on behalf of the wonderful supporters seated here tonight, show your hands, from Vela Beach, seated in the gallery, but I'm also speaking on behalf of the Vela Beach Community Association, the Vela Beach and Vela Rural Communities, but also on behalf of the 486 signatures to a petition which was circulated for just 3 weeks during the month of April. This petition called for immediate action to this dangerous intersection. A Transport for New South Wales rep was given a copy of this petition and the signatories on the 29th of April, but nothing has happened since. We all hold grave fears for the intersection of Vela Beach Road and Ginnigay Way. Along with many other locals, I've been involved in a few close calls myself at this intersection since the introduction of the rule. The community was not advised of this road rule change. The giveaway sign and just appeared along with the dotted markings for the slip lane. This change was introduced by Transport for New South Wales. We have all seen many near misses, and we all know now to approach the intersection with trepidation. We understand that the Nambucca Valley Road Safety Committee, comprising police and transport for New South Wales, representatives of Nambucca Council employee and also a member from local MP's office, hold regular meetings. We were told that there was to be a meeting set down for Tuesday the 4th of June, which did not go ahead for some reason, and we were hoping that the issue would be discussed at that meeting. We've tried to find out when the next Road Safety Committee meeting will be put, but to no avail. It should be noted that at the same time this Rule 72 was introduced to our intersection, where the speed limit approaching the intersection is 90 kilometres per hour with terrible line of sight for vehicles coming from the north, that the same rule change occurred at the Link Road on the northern entrance to Nambucca Heads, where the speed limit is much safer, 60 kilometres per hour, and the line of sight much better both ways, but also to the Link Road down from the hospital roundabout, where the speed limit is 80 kilometres per hour and the line of sight is just so much better again. We applaud the Mayor's continued interest in research into this, and we are all waiting to seek clarification and reasoning behind this road rule. Rule 72 appears to be cross for cross intersections, but Rule 73 appears to be for T intersections. But why we have the slip lanes, we don't understand. We stand behind Mayor Hoban seeking clarification on the appropriateness of the interpretation by Transport for New South Wales, and to also seek assistance from our local state member, Mr. Michael Kemp, for him to make representations to the relevant governing body, and to also press to that governing body the valid and grave concerns that we all have for the residents who travel this stretch of road every day. Even the lowering of the speed limit from 90 kilometres an hour to 60 as you approach the Vela Beach intersection from the south or the north would give our concerned drivers a little more time to assess whether it is safe or not to proceed. The owner of the business, Village Pottery, is situated right on the corner of that intersection on the southern side of Vela Beach Road. Matt has heard many minor collisions and sadly some major ones. He goes to help when he can. He shouldn't have to be doing that. We must impress on council that we all have such grave concerns. Thank you for your ears.
Thank you, Mrs. Anderson. Before we hear from our next speaker, are there any questions for Mrs. Anderson? Councillor Janvey.
Yes, good evening, Mrs. Anderson.
Hi.
I'm really... I have lost a friend and the 17-year-old daughter on that intersection.
Yes.
I know
yes.
how dangerous it is, and that was definitely speed involved and mm-hmm. that very short line of sight.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way, how these design issues around speed and the line of sight, are you able to prosecute those angles?
We've tried. I've met with a representative from Transport for New South Wales twice. Each time she thanks me for my time and effort and whatever. And yes, something will be done. But the last time I spoke with her was maybe 5 weeks ago, and she said something will be done in 2 weeks. So we have tried to be nice, I suppose, and say the right things and be courteous and whatever, but not hearing from anybody, not really even... We sort of put our hopes on the meeting at the 4th of June, the traffic committee meeting, and then about 10 days later I was told it didn't go ahead. And we're trying to find out when the next one's going to be, and we'd like to be able to, I suppose, really impress on the people who are there that it is dangerous. It is just so dangerous. And we would hate one of our community people to have a terrible accident there.
Would the community be happier with the way the road is now, but if they got the speed limit lowered?
We think that could be a possibility, but the Transport for New South Wales lady that I spoke to said that she thought, no, it's going to be there. It's no chance of changing it around. So we've tried to provide solutions and possible solutions, but we just haven't been heard.
Hence your presentation.
Yep. Hence, we're here.
Thanks.
Ms Anderson, if I could ask you, I know that Transport for New South Wales have continually quoted Rule 72 or Section 72 of the, was it the Roads Rule?
Yep.
Roads
yep.
Regulations? Have Transport for New South Wales given any explanation as to why they're applying Rule 72 when, if you look at the legislation, the very first thing it says, Section 72, giving way at an intersection except a T-intersection or roundabout. Now, if that's not a T-intersection, I don't know what it is. Have they given you any reason why Rule 72, which, and again, councillors, I put the link in my, I don't know whether you got a chance to look at it, every diagrammatic representation is for a four-way cross intersection. So they haven't given some magical reason why Rule 72, despite saying doesn't apply to a T intersection, has been applied at what I think we all think of as the T intersection at Valley Beach.
Same with Link Road and the Link Road in Maxville. We have somebody who comes from Victoria in our tennis club, and they were surprised when they first came here 5 years ago that we didn't have this rule in New South Wales. But if they're going to have this rule in three places in Nambucca Valley, why don't they have it in other places?
Well, why hasn't it been applied to the slip lane going into Nambucca Plaza? And I guarantee if they did apply it there, you'd have more access. Well, a problem.
We just can't seem to get our message across, and the concern every time we go to the intersection, I'm very thrilled when there's no other cars, you know, which is really quite bad. And when we had that, the road counting thing in 2021, there was 10,000 cars each week that goes in and out of Valley Beach. So the traffic is there.
Thank you, Mrs. Anderson. And our next speaker is Ms. Melissa Hilson. And Melissa's also speaking for the recommendation in the question with notice.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and councillors. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name's Melissa Hilson, and I have lived with my family in Valley Beach for almost 20 years. Speaking in support of the Valley Beach Community Association, Mayor Hoban's
what do you call it?
Your research. Recommendation.
And for, from concern for Nambucca Valley residents regarding the safety issues surrounding the installation of the Give Way signs in February 2023 along Ginnegay Way at Bella, Nambucca and Maxville. When the Give Way signs were installed, I observed several near misses at the T intersection of Ginnegay Way and Bella Beach Road. After inquiring with council and being referred to Transport for New South Wales, I emailed my concern to Transport at the beginning of August 2023. I had many emails to and from a lovely person called Leslie from Transport Customer Relations. In my emails, I asked, for example, what obstacles and dangers on the road were present to warrant this change at this particular intersection? How have the changes to this intersection enhanced safety? I questioned why the confusing give way slip lane signage was only installed at the three T intersections, not anywhere else in the Nambucca Valley. If it was a major safety issue, would it not make sense to have this be a statewide concern accompanied by an education program? Or better still, get rid of the confusing signage as a means of preventing tragic accidents locally. I suggested the changes at the Ginnegay Way T intersections have created confusion and therefore diminished the safety of the intersections. I said I had witnessed numerous occasions where the vehicle turning right off the through road isn't aware that the vehicles turning left must give way to them and they end up in a standoff. This confusion is generally due to the treatment of these two intersections being different to other intersections in the area and on the same stretch of road. On Ginnegay Way, there are 11 similar intersections between Hungry Head Road, well, that's not really the Nambucca Valley, but Urunga and Nambucca Plaza, for example, but only two of these require you to give way when turning left from the through road onto the side road. Even based on my travelling experiences through New South Wales, it's unusual treatment for this type of T intersection. I asked Transport for a detailed and technical response, which I did not receive. So on the 23rd of November 2023, I forwarded my email to the State MP, Michael Kemp. On November 28th, 2023, I received the following email from Leslie from Transport advising that the local traffic committee concurred with Transport for New South Wales commitment to investigate, reverting back to the previous arrangement, and remove the give way signs and hold lines from left turn lanes off Ginnegay Way at Bella Beach Road, Link Road and Old Coast Road. Transport for New South Wales was arranging for the work to be done and it was soon was to be done as soon as practicable. Yay, I thought. However, no such work was done, so I emailed Leslie on the 8th of February 2024 to ask where the matter was up to. On the 19th of February 2024, Leslie from Transport wrote, "Thank you for your patience. I've been advised that this matter was again discussed at the February 2024 Local Traffic Committee meeting, and advice from that meeting is New South Wales Police and Council would like the giveway signs to be left in place and the performance of the intersections to be monitored." Transport for New South Wales understands that wasn't the outcome I was hoping for. On the 27th of March, I wrote again to Leslie asking how the monitoring of the giveway intersections on Ginnegay Way was going, but I didn't receive any response. I witnessed another bad car accident, and so at the intersection of Ginnegay Way and Bella Beach Road, there'd been quite a few smashes there, and I'd seen three over the time. So I emailed Transport again and MP Michael Kemp asking for my concerns to be escalated, worried that there was going to be a fatality. And Leslie escalated the concerns, but I heard nothing back from anybody. So I emailed MP Michael Kemp on the 23rd of April 2024. I forwarded him all my correspondence with Leslie from Transport and wrote, gave him a bit of a background sort of history and added that these accidents have involved, that I was concerned because I've witnessed accidents involving locals whom I know, and besides physical injuries, I'm aware of the financial and psychologically traumatic impact that this is having on those affected. So some people won't drive anymore because they've had such terrible accidents. A couple of kids had their cars written off. They can't afford to buy new ones. Not to mention, having to go to hospital and injuries. So I again stated that I would like the giveaway signs to be removed immediately before there's a fatality. Michael Kemp phoned me on the 30th of April 2024 and stated that he had spoken to the Director of Transport for New South Wales and asked for the giveaway signs to be removed by the end of May. This has not happened, and Michael Kemp has not responded to my phone call or email since the beginning of June. So here we are, just a bit of background, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Hilson. Councillors, any questions for Ms. Hilson? None? Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Well, councillors, I'll move the recommendation that I've put within the question with notice. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. It's open for discussion. Councillor Angel.
Madam Mayor, probably prior to that public forum, I was fully in support of the recommendations you put forward. But probably post, I would almost put a line through both of them and see if there's an opportunity for us to go legal with it all, really write some legal representation. And I absolutely agree with the recommendation, but listening to the correspondence that they've had independently out in the public, and I'm sure there's steps we need to follow.
I did actually, I did consider that course of action, because my personal opinion is that Transport for New South Wales misinterpreting the legislation makes very clear that Rule 72 does not apply to T intersections. However, Rule 73, now whether they're just quoting the wrong section of the Act, but I've confirmed with both our staff, because I believe at the Traffic Committee meetings, I think we have one staff member, but there's two police and two Transport for New South Wales, they were quoting Rule 72. Rule 72, and I confirmed this with the Secretary of the Community Association, is what was in writing quoted. I personally believe that the legislation quite clearly does not apply to a T intersection. Happy to be proven wrong, but I think anyone else who reads it and looks at the diagrams can see it's not about T intersections. We could get legal advice, but we've got to then go and pay for someone who's actually an expert in road rules legislation. Put it this way, that's still an option. This is do it the nice way first and see whether they might review their own actions and come back and say, whoops, yes, we have misinterpreted it. But the concern I have is that they're going to apply Rule 73, which does relate to slip lanes at T intersections. But I think the biggest issue is, and our speakers raised it, is the if this is the legislation, it should be applied to slip lanes on every T intersection. Now, this is all about the Valla Beach intersection, but I've personally seen three really near misses and one fellow lose his motorbike because he had to sort of stop, and he didn't get hurt, but he fell off the bike at the Link Road intersection. I think the issue is the inconsistency of it, because there for years at the Link Road, anyone heading north wanting to turn into Nambucca always gave way to the right. So anyone coming from Valla Beach or Coffs Harbour came straight down from the interchange and swung straight into Nambucca Heads. Now one of two things happens. They either both, it's a Mexican standoff, or they both try to swing in. But you then go down to the plaza, and if you're heading from Maxville towards Nambucca Heads and you're turning into the plaza, you have right of way. There's no, and the traffic. Now, if they make them give way, like people heading from Valla Beach and Coffs Harbour wanting to swing into the plaza, currently everyone stops and gives way to the southbound who's making a direct left-hand turn, whereas everyone heading from the north is crossing the line of traffic, so they give way to their right. So I think the issue is that on one intersection people are doing one thing, on the next thing it seems like you do something different. It's the inconsistency. It's causing confusion. And as I said, well, we've already had... I saw one particular accident at Valla Beach because I was heading straight through but just got held up in traffic and eventually turned around and went around Deep Creek Road to get past it because there was an accident. I don't know how serious it was, but it was certainly enough to stop the traffic. There were police there and stop and go. You couldn't get through. And I understand there have been several and some of them have been quite serious. Yeah, so first port of call is to try this. But if they tell us that Rule 72 does apply, I guess we have that option of getting a legal opinion. I'm not a lawyer, but I can read. My comprehension's not that bad. And when it says, except T-intersections, then the rest of that particular section follows. I know with interpretation of the Local Government Act, the first part of the section is the and, ifs and buts come underneath, but that's the first part is the rule, and it clearly says except T-intersections. So
it should be a pretty clear response, shouldn't it? If it's about Regulation 72, it should be a very clear answer. And that's my point. If it's a clear answer that they're going to continue to use, then we should maybe amend the recommendation to go, well, straight away, we leave, like they're obviously using that already, and if our legal advice... Which I think we do spend legal money a lot on stuff that's probably...
Yeah.
I would hate to bloody walk out of here tonight and see tomorrow that there's another car crash up where we haven't explored every option. And that's my only thought. We could maybe amend the recommendation for if they do refer to Regulation 72, then we commence legal...
Well, I'm happy for you to move an amendment. I mean, if people want to pursue that.
Well, Madam, I will move the amendment. And right, point number three is that they refer back to Regulation 72 that the council investigates legal, well, how, legal cost or legal reference.
So are you essentially looking for a legal opinion on the application?
Definitely, yeah.
Can I?
Yeah, please twist it and use it.
Twist it.
massage it the right way that the point gets made.
The chair's not supposed to twist you.
No.
Well, can I just suggest that council seek a legal opinion on the application of Rule 72 to T-intersections?
Mm-hmm.
Does that capture what you want to achieve?
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. And we have a bit of an issue with Info Council tonight, so our secretary has to do everything manually. So, our minute taker. So the first part disappears. Sorry. The amendment is point one and point two with a third point. So, Councillor Angel, you're leaving point one and point two there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a third point and... Delete the first part of the sentence. Start with council. You've already got that council. Sorry, start with seek. A legal opinion on the application of Rule 72 to T-intersections. Councillor Vance, you're seconding the amendment?
I'll second it, but we might want to add in there how it's inconsistent across the state because we don't want people coming from other areas and suddenly Nambucca's got this rule that they don't understand. Like, it's like, are we the only people that slapping it on?
Yeah, perhaps that doesn't belong with the amendment.
It's to be consistent across the state.
Because the amendment's asking for a legal opinion on whether even Rule 72 actually applies. But I'd be happy to... I'm just trying to think how we can... regarding resident safety concerns at the intersection of Valor Beach Road. How about if on point two we added at the end of it, and the inconsistent application of Rule 72. That cover it?
Have this been brought up?
because that's writing to the minister to ask, sorry, writing to the state member asking him to make representation to the minister about the residents' safety concerns and the inconsistent application of Rule 72. As I said, I have a suspicion that they're going to tell us that it's Rule 73, I think it's part something E or F of that.
It still has to be consistent. Mm.
Well, again, if they're going to, my personal opinion is, if they're going to insist that that's the legislation and it applies, then apply it to all T intersections and perhaps conduct a public awareness campaign, some TV ads or whatever. I wouldn't add all of that in there, but...
You don't tell your mate to assist...
Sorry, that... seek legal opinion on the application of Rule 72 T intersections. That's, I think he wanted the full stop at intersections.
That's how I got it from Councillor Angel.
I guess
you want to do that first, or do you want to do one and two first? And if we don't get a satisfactory
My original was do this first. What? If we don't get a satisfactory response, I was just going to put up another notice of motion that we get a legal opinion.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Prefer that sequence because it may prevent the need for
number three.
The cost of the legal opinion.
Yep. Okay, so if favourable advice is not received, seek a legal opinion.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good.
I wanted to ask you a question.
I'm sorry, I can't take comment from the public gallery. And how long do we wait?
Well, that's the point. It should be a very clear explanation.
How about we put a sunset clause in there? Favourable advice is not received within 1 month. Seek legal opinion. I'm quite sure then when the staff write, they'll actually flag that if you don't respond within a month, we're taking this further.
Definitely.
You capture that. Sorry for doing all the work.
That's all right.
Are you happy with that wording? I don't want
absolutely.
To have changed stuff without you being comfortable with it. And the seconder is comfortable with the wording. Hey, councillors, is there any further discussion or debate? It's one.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes, Councillor Ballingo.
Who's the transport minister? Have we got a transport minister?
Yeah, there's a minister for... who's the current... Sorry? It's divided now between transport and then regional roads, minister for regional...
I'm not British yet.
Yeah. Well, I think Jenny Aitchison would be the minister.
But we've got...
Because this is a regional area.
We've already approached this Michael Kemp fella. Yep. He's a member of parliament, so is there any other... person higher than Michael Kemp or someone to go to?
Well, the minister, and that's who...
These are the guys you've got to look at in order to make legislations change and rules, regulation change.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. So.
Well, the minister is the top of the tree. The other thing I guess we could do is alter the recommendation so that we write to the minister and copy the local member.
That's
right,
you've got to
do that. Might as well go to the top. Sorry, I've done it again.
Yeah, I'm happy for that. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I think it's worth the time.
So the mover and seconder of the amendment are happy to alter their amendment to read that we write to the minister and for the minister for regional roads and copy state member Mr. Michael Kemp, and then you cut all of that out and say regarding the resident safety concerns at the intersection and the inconsistent application of Rule 72.
No,
That'll put a fire to Michael under his bum. Kemp.
That'll put a fire under his bum.
MP. After MP, remove the and. Just the and. Delete. Turn that into requesting. Action. And delete everything down to regarding. Yep, that's it. Requesting action regarding the resident safety concerns at the intersection of Ginnegay Way and Valla Beach Road and the inconsistent application of Rule 72. Okay, so that just takes it up straight to the minister rather than via...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, are we... Do we think we finally got it?
Yeah, no, it's...
Right? I know it's taken some time and I apologise to anyone in the public gallery waiting to hear other items on the agenda, but it's one that I think is worth getting right. Yeah. All right, councillors, that's an amendment. So if there's no further discussion on the amendment, I'll put it. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. It now becomes the motion. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Thank you. Okay, so we've dealt with the question with notice. Councillors, we now go to page 24, item 9.1, the outstanding actions and reports.
Yes.
Bring that. My thing is closed down on me.
We're to move that, Madam Mayor. I have a question if I could.
Okay, moved Councillor Jones. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Councillor Jones.
Number 12. We have the 19th of the 6th to 2024 amended planning proposal submitted to the Minister for Gateway Determination. Could I ask through the General Manager, our Manager of Development and Environment, if he could describe what that amended planning proposal, what the crux of it was, and is that a document that can be made public or is that correspondence? So if I can ask through the General Manager.
Madam Mayor, I refer that to the Manager of Development and Planning.
Through the General Manager, Councillor Jones, the amended proposal was addressing further justifications that the Department of Planning wanted, primarily addressing what potential controls a DCP amendment in the future might have in terms of what matters would be looked at as part of a DA, clarification around existing controls in the DCP, the proposed exemptions, and really around justifications as why it's actually needed. So it was been submitted, and it was today the Department of Planning have formally accepted the plan proposal for assessment. So it's got past where the first one went to. So hopefully the determination will be known in the next few weeks.
So again, Madam Mayor, could I just ask, is that a public document through the General Manager?
Through the General Manager, yes, that could be made public. It's not the final planning proposal though, because it's not until a gateway determination is made. It's still subject to the Minister saying further amendments need to be made.
The whole consultation process, I'm gathering, Madam Mayor, would build into that process and the end product is a bit like reflect some of those.
Can I ask through the General Manager a further question? It may be one that the General Manager would prefer to answer. I'm just a little bit concerned that, because it's starting to happen already, and I mentioned this at the last meeting, people are already writing letters and calling them submissions about our... what is essentially a proposed LEP amendment, eventually. But part of that process, as I understand it, and that's what I want Mr. Walsh to confirm, is that if the gateway proposal is approved or accepted by the Minister, we can then proceed. But then there has to be a formal consultation period and it goes on public exhibition and a time for making submissions. And you consider the submissions made within that period. Is that correct?
through the general manager, Madam Mayor, that's correct. So at this stage, it's just essentially a draft.
Yep.
And if it's issued gateway determination, it generally comes out with conditions requiring particular amendments. And it, yep. So it may happen at gateway, it might happen before. So people can't really make a submission now because there's no final gateway determination planning proposal to make comment on. So that the official exhibition period where submissions are taken into account is through that set period.
And that document that goes on public exhibition will be the one that there is an intent to adopt. And the reason that I'm asking is I have this is something that there are a lot of people in the community who are interested in, but I have concerns that they think that if they send an email, or they sent one last week, or they send a general email in about their concerns about general horticulture in the valley, I need to be cautious because of my declaration of a pecuniary interest in a particular industry, they're not, that they think that they've done what they need to do and will not make a submission during the formal exhibition period. So I think, I guess we need to make sure that message gets out there that important time to make a submission is when that formal document goes on exhibition. And again, depending what the department come back with, it could be different to what we initially proposed. So people have to watch out for what those changes are and make sure that the official document that goes on exhibition, that's the one that they need to say what they're happy with and what they're not happy with.
Madam Mayor, maybe if I could ask the General Manager whether it would be protocol to mention that to any early emails, that there will be a designated period, and that might be just to have a stock answer that there will be a designated period, just to alert people individually.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Councillor Jones. Absolutely. We'll respond to any email that we get now in regard to the matter. I think it's also important to note that if we get to that stage and we go on public exhibition, then we'll engage directly with some of the key stakeholders, the groups that we know are particularly interested in the matter, both from the industry and from the environmental work side of things. So everybody will know that it's out for public comment, and we'll certainly invite and make it well known that now's the period when they make their submission.
We also, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we also advertise in the local paper highlighting that sort of stuff with this level. Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
And I think it's a statutory minimum 28-day exhibition period, is it? Or maybe not?
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, it varies. They've changed the minimum requirements 20 working days. And then, then they got discretion to expand it from there.
But generally speaking, it's at least, like, it doesn't just go on exhibition for 10 days. It's,
yeah.
I don't think there's anything much that we put on exhibition that's anything less than the 28 days. I think all of the finance stuff is still a minimum of 28 days unless the Act has changed.
Correct.
Yeah. So there will be a reasonable time period for people to consider the document as well. Councillor Angel.
Yep, Madam Mayor, on the back of Councillor Jones' points with number 12, I mean, there's something there we don't really particularly need to wait for as far as this issue goes. And on the 11th and 4th, obviously, our resolution was many points. There wasn't really a point four, but there was a mention here of engaging the formal meeting with Michael Kemp and the relevant ministers. In regards to trying to seek further funding from DPI, NRA, any of those relevant departments that could actually start doing things without us waiting for our gateway determination. I'm just through yourself to the General Manager. Has that been engaged? I don't think that's something we need to wait for the community consult or the determination of the gateway to happen. I think this is something beyond our control, obviously, and we're using it as our shield in some ways to say that this is beyond our control. These are state bodies. To me, that should have been a meeting that's already happened or booked in or any meeting, but yeah.
Thanks, Councillor Angel. I'll refer that question to the Manager of Development. All environment?
Through the general manager, Councillor Angel. No, the meeting hasn't happened yet. I understand it's been attempted to occur. One thing we do have, though, is there's a formal resolution before that one to write to the respective ministers, both the environment and blank on the other one now, the water minister, and about resources. And they both responded in writing to us saying that they have enough resources for their for what is needed. So, but yeah, in terms of arranging the meeting to front them on that, that's still got to be done.
So we've had a previous response to them saying they believe their resources are adequate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty clear, isn't it?
So, sorry, is this the minister responsible for the EPA?
Yes.
They've got adequate resources and they don't need any more?
Apparently, yes.
Well, another one to zip it on. All right, councillors, any other discussion? Councillor Buchanan.
Just a question on number 11. I see that the Geographical Names Board had requested that the suggested name be sent to the Language Centre for endorsement by the local Aboriginal community, as stated in here. Was there any, I'll put it to General Manager and you can delegate as you choose, was there any thought or scope of reaching out further than that? Just because of concerns in community around, I guess, the delegation always going to particular businesses or corporations and not to a broader audience. Was there any thought or any action to potentially reach a broader audience?
Thank you, Councillor. I'll have to refer that question to the Director of Engineering if he has further advice.
Through the General Manager. So the reason why we've gone to the Language Centre in the first place was, yeah, because the Geographical Names Board directed us there. We are happy to go to other organisations if you believe that's the best way to keep this moving and make sure that when we do get to a decision, but we'd be probably looking for your advice then, Councillor, on which were the best places to go. Thank you.
Thank you. And can I add to that? This has come up, I can recall, back when we had the Business Advisory Committee and we were looking at street names and so forth. And the advice then was that because Murabai is a recognised Gumbangi language organisation, that the government agencies, everything referred to them, mainly for spelling, but also for the appropriateness of the use. And I'm sure Councillor Ballengarry will recall at least there's a street name in Valla Beach where I didn't want to say this street name because I know that it's quite offensive to some, but well, let's just say it was the equivalent of calling it Jesus Christ Street to many of our Bangir residents. So, and that happened without any consultation. And my recollection is it was as a result of that controversy that from then on everything had to go to Murabai just for spelling and appropriate spelling, meaning if we needed the meaning of a word, and also the actual appropriateness of the use of a particular word. Okay.
Can I just kind of clarify that? So the reason I asked is I've been in a lot of discussions in community about how do I put it, the effectiveness of approaching these things in the way that has been done in the past. I myself am a language teacher and speaker, and I've never been a part of any of those discussions. I personally feel like it isn't put broad enough to people who should have
consulted
enough knowledge on the topic to be able to at least assist with making these sorts of discussions flow and happen faster than what they have. And I know that there are people in community who are frustrated because of things that happen outside of their influence because of decisions like this that are kind of handed over to particular places time and time again where community don't exactly have as much influence as community believes they should. And I support that myself as an individual. I believe that community should have a bit more influence in places that are making these decisions on behalf of community. That's part of the reason I brought that up tonight is kind of feel like that we're reaching community better if things like this are expanded to a broader audience. So I may have a conversation with the General Manager sometime and possibly Mr. Maloney.
Mr. Maloney did indicate, and because it's quite possible that for some reason Geographical Name Board are just going to say no, like there may be a similar name on a street somewhere else that we... I mean, this was a result of my notice of motion, and I would support that because one of the concerns that I had at the time was that Wombro was a person's name and I was unsure of the spelling. And I'm also unsure of whether there are any... I don't know whether that was a nickname as such, like an affectionate name, or whether it was someone's birth certificate name, but one of the concerns that I actually had at the time was that there may be living family members and that's not how... I mean, the spelling I put in the notice of motion was spelling that the late Councillor Trevor provided for me. The last thing I'd want to see is a road sign with someone's name that we did with all good intentions and then have a descendant, come forward and say, you've spelled it wrong. So maybe when the time comes, we might need to consult as to whether anyone in community knows whether there are any relatives of that individual who perhaps out of respect should be consulted before we stick a sign up. Are you happy with that? You're going to... Councillor Buchanan.
Yep.
Thank you. Right, councillors, any further discussion on 9.1? None? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 49, item... should be 10.1. No, it is 11.1.
10.1.
What do I...
It'd be
10. Well, why is... Oh, sorry, it's all right. I've touched this and it's jumped ahead. Don't worry about me. Okay. Yes. So, where are we? Page 32, 10.1.
I'll move.
Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Genvey. It's open for discussion. Councillor Genvey.
Question for the General Manager, please. Look, I support the recommendation. The community strategic plan is really important, but in the discussion, you're conducting an inception meeting with staff and you're conducting then implementation, online surveys and markets and stuff, and then creating a report. But nowhere are councillors engaged in the process. I know it's for release to the new council, but is it significant? Is it something that's happened at other councils you've been at where the councillors aren't involved in this process, or can we be involved in the process?
Thank you, Councillor. That's a given. We'll be engaging with council. It is council's community strategic plan. if there's an oversight in conveying that message, then it's probably because
it talks about
that's
staff.
A massive assumption that council would be involved in every step of it. Given the timing of the election, a lot of that consultation work will happen either during the caretaker period or immediately after the election. So it will be the new council that is dealing with that draft community strategic plan, and then we'll make changes to that and then go back to the community if we need to. But certainly council will be involved every step of the way.
Like at that inception meeting with staff, with the consultants at council offices?
No, probably not at the inception meeting. That will be more about bringing the consultants up to speed on what our current community strategic plan goals and aspirations and strategies were. They need to be taken into, you know, that background needs to be taken into account. There are also fundamentals like our asset replacement program that they need to understand, and those basics need to be included in the plan. And then when we get to what the priorities are and what councils and what the community's aspirations are moving, you know, for the next 10 years, that's when we'll engage councillors.
Okay.
As a supplementary question to Councillor Genvies, can I ask, am I correct in my understanding that the community strategic plan actually forms a specific part of the integrated planning and reporting requirements of the Act and actually has to be adopted by... Does it go on exhibition?
Yes.
And has to be adopted by the council. So there's that initial consultation, you put together a draft, it's then got to go back out onto public exhibition for submissions and further comment, and then it's the elected council who adopt it, because it's one of the guys... You'll all recall that, you know... I have to think what the proper word for it is.
Chart.
And not, I won't use the blue term chart that I usually...
It's an IPNR flowchart, and you're correct. It's the umbrella document that guides
all
every
the other...
Every document, every strategy document underneath that.
I just have another word for those flowcharts that go round and round in circles and never end, yes.
So the time frame, the ultimate time frame is sort of June
30,
2025. Yep. So why we want to do that initial consultation is because if there's any projects or strategies that require funding, we don't want to miss a year, we want to include that in the 25-26 budget. So we need to get the community strategic plan to a point where we can price some stuff out of it if we want to start working on whatever the strategy is. But the final public consultation will happen in parallel with the budget process, and you won't be actually adopting CSP until probably June, May or June. So it's a 9-month process to work through.
It's just
what this report is doing is just letting councillors know we want to engage the consultants now so we can start doing all that background work, getting ready for that engagement of the community.
Yeah, it might help councillors to know. I asked some similar questions of Mr. Sykes, who's our Director of Corporate Services but is on approved leave. And one of the things that I had a concern about was that, as I said earlier, the community strategic plan is the umbrella document that should inform our operational plans, delivery plans, asset management strategies, etc. And given this timing, new council was going to face their first budget, and as councillors are aware, we start that budget process quite early in the year. They were going to, and what we're supposed to do is ensure that our delivery plan actually matches or reflects the community strategic plan. And when I first read this, I thought, what do the councillors refer to for the next budget, current adopted plan, or the plan that will most likely be partially developed or in draft form. But Mr. Sykes said that it would be the draft, that we would be referencing the information that has come forward from that draft. So that was, I think that's sort of partly what Councillor Janvey's concerned about. You know, we've got an old plan.
Yep. Well, I can recall being engaged with it as a councillor in workshops in here with the community, with the consultants.
Exactly. My point is, how do you as a councillor adopt a budget with priorities and projects if you haven't got a very good handle on the information that has come forward from the community up to that point? Because we know we're superseding the old plan, if that makes any sense. Another matter that came up, and I'd just like to ask the staff, and I apologise for not giving notice earlier, but it was only today that I was asked. I've had a couple of residents ask the question as to why we're spending such a large amount of money on a consultant and why this work isn't being done in-house, in particular by our community development officer. Are you able to respond to that?
Or? Yes, I am, Madam Mayor. This is simply a job that's too big for one person, and particularly when that person already has a full workload. The consultants that we've been having discussions with range from organisations like Morrison Lowe, Locale, which is a local one from Goolga. So there's a range of specialised consultants who do this work with local government. We're comfortable with the prices that we've got from those consultants. They're within budget. And without that additional resourcing, we simply wouldn't be able to take on a project of this size and the level of community engagement that's required in-house.
And sorry, the other aspect of the question that I essentially gave that answer, and so I'm glad that it was correct, but I do have an idea of how large a job this is. It's certainly not a one-man job. And I guess there's also a requirement for a level of independent engagement. The other thing that was asked, though, is whether there'd be on the ground, and again, I think this is getting close to what Councillor Janvey was asking about, whether it'd be on the ground consultation. The resident that spoke to me was concerned that it'd be consultants and that they'd sit in Sydney and do some kind of like desktop study or come up with their idea of what they thought was good for this community rather than capture what this community's vision, aspiration and priorities and values were.
Thank you for your question. I can't, till we appoint the consultant, I can't really discuss the pros and cons of each submission that we've had because they're still being considered. But certainly understanding our local community is a key part of the assessment that we make with regard to those consultants. It's the last thing we want is a desktop exercise. So some of the submissions have come up with some quite good mechanisms for engagement, and one of the ones that I'm aware of talks about having pop-up stands at the markets, so the Valla markets and Ankia markets, having pop-up stands there where one or two staff members plus one of the consultants people will go and basically canvass people that are walking past, whether they're residents or visitors or tourists. They're all stakeholders in our community, and just get that sort of on-ground feedback.
On ground was the expression that was actually used by this resident. Would it be consultants on the ground in the Nambucca Valley?
Yes.
Their concern was that we were hiring a Sydney or a Canberra firm who were going to do something pretty and glossy, but not reflecting...
Our intention is for grassroots consultation.
Thank you. I think that's answered. Councillor Janvey.
Just on that ground, you're also going to get very different responses from Valla Beach than you are at Barrowville. Different demographics.
But again, that's part of trying to capture a broad range.
I would hope if you're on the ground, it might be just more than Valla Beach and Unkia, so, yeah.
Madam Mayor, probably...
Councillor Angel.
Probably a little disappointment not knowing that this was on the agenda. This year, we could have, with those 15 to 19 minute phone calls we had for 2% of the population, we could have tacked on another minute to start this process, probably potentially save a bit of money. I understand it was a satisfaction survey that weren't out, but I don't think it was too much harder to probably start this particular process back then. Knowing this is now on the agenda, we probably fired a dud bullet in some ways with all that expenditure back then. But probably the other part, and just to probably take note for Mr. Sykes, I think with the engagement of Antano now, I'm not sure if you can explore the opportunity with people taking that up more and more, but I think this CSP or the software undertaken on the ground, I think Antano is a really good opportunity now with people engaging that more and more to really engage that as part of this. But got to express a little bit of disappointment not knowing this wasn't on the radar, and we had 490 people for, on average, 19 minutes, and this flogging thing gets in front of us. So I think we missed a little opportunity to be on the ground early, adding another element to those phone calls.
But I do suspect that the results of our survey are one of the things that would be given to the consultants, but yet the survey was perhaps more about...
satisfaction and...
And about importance of infrastructure, whereas the community strategic plan is not just about... And it's not all about council responsibilities either. The community strategic plan will, I expect, reflect priorities and values that are outside of core functions of local government, but they might involve other state agencies or federal... is my understanding from what I've read from the guidelines from the IPNR process.
I just think we had them. Yeah, we had those people for 19 minutes. If we knew this was coming on 6 weeks later...
Could have added a few more questions.
Yeah. Do you mind staying on for 22 minutes and we've got a couple of other things coming up in the future?
If they hung in there for 19, they probably... a few extra wouldn't matter.
Thank you for your question, Councillor Angel. Absolutely, we knew this was coming, and you will recall at the end of the satisfaction survey, we particularly targeted 400. Now, there's two separate things here. That has to be completely random. 400 is what we paid for to get accurate satisfaction numbers that we can compare against previous surveys. So they're two very different engagement pieces, but you will recall at the end of that we included a couple of questions. One was, in your travels, have you seen something that you liked that you'd like to see in the Nambucca Valley? That was a lead-in to this. The difference with this is you engage with as broad and as wide of sections of your community as you possibly can to bring in every single idea and get from your community what it is they want to see moving forward. So one's looking at the last 12 months and how you've performed. This is now looking at the next 10 years and what your community wants to see. And as the Mayor indicated, there will be things that come up like affordable housing, for example, which is not really Council's core business, but as the peak body for the local community, we need to take that on board, include it in our strategic plan. How are we going to assist, engage state government stakeholders or whoever it may be to provide that for our community? So they're very different beasts, but yes, one certainly follows the other.
Yeah. Oh, look, my point was that you'd already grabbed that part of the population. we're going to be looking at so many ways to engage this CSB. Obviously, via phone is going to be one of them. But anyway, like I said, it was just maybe a bit more of a further missed opportunity knowing this was coming ahead. Get it, there's two different beasts, but we had them. Yeah, had already, you already had 2% of the population done. Yeah, that's probably my point. Okay. In the antenna, obviously.
Councillors, any other discussion on this item? None? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 36, item 10.2.
Going to move that, Madam Mayor?
Moved Councillor Jones. Seconded Councillor Angel. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 38, item 10.3.
Move this, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour?
Just a quick comment. Sorry. Longer is better.
Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 44, item 10.4.
Move this.
Moved Councillor Janvey, seconded Councillor Jones. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 46, item 10.5. Moved Councillor Buchanan. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 48, item 10.6.
This, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 49, item 11.1. Moved Councillor Janvey. Seconded Councillor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
I'm supportive of the submission. I think just talking about our community strategic plan, it should actually reflect quite a bit of the circular economy stuff, net zero, all that sort of thing. I think we need to view it as opportunities going forward. So there's jobs and money from the federal government and that sort of thing floating around. I obviously, the director of planning and environment thinks we need to be at scale to do things, but a lot of the circular economy is about local stuff and repairing. And it was interesting being at the tip today. It was great to see it looking so tidy, but it would be nice to see sort of more stuff for recycling there. Anyway, and reuse and repair. So I think this is the way forward.
Well, perhaps if the New South Wales state government gave back to councils every cent they took out of our ratepayers' pockets in the form of the waste tax that they do nothing for and is essentially just a tax.
I can't see they're going to give that up, but it's always worth trying.
Well, I think it's important that our ratepayers know that the state government has taken, I believe it's over $4 billion now in waste levy. They provide nothing for it. They spruik circular economy, recycling, you know, councils have got to work together and whatever.
And
yet
the state.
None of that money, well, less than, I think a third of the money basically goes back into waste-related considerations. But there's $4 billion that could have been spent, even if it didn't go to councils, at least it could have been spent on research and development into reusing and recycling, you know, other ways of reusing materials, that kind of thing.
I would just point out, I think the state's got a budget deficit of about $280 billion they inherited, but the federal government has a lot more money in this space than the state government, and they're very keen to set big parameters. So.
I know, but if you take a waste levy, you should spend it back on waste. It's a little bit like the old fuel tax and the road tax. that ends up in consolidated revenue or majority of it now. But anyway, if there's no other discussion, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 51, item 11.2.
Move.
Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Angel. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 54, item 11.3.
Move that.
Yeah. Moved Councillor Vance, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion?
I'd just like to
Councillor Angel.
Yeah, just a quick note on this one, Madam Mayor. I'd note the amount, I mean, I was an apology, but I note the amount of people that actually are going to this coastline catchments and coastline management committee meeting. I think it looks like there's around about 20 people and very diverse. If anyone was there, I want to add to the meeting, but it's good to see. It's good to see the engagement there at that one.
Okay. Any Mayor, other discussion?
Just I saw...
Councillor Jones.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, if I could. I had a representation from Mrs. Faye Lawson. She was she had a moment of thought where she wasn't invited or wasn't on. Obviously she was, because she's attended the meeting. But are these members, or are these just members of the community who just sort of turn up?
Well, I'm not sure what's happened, but I did put up a notice of motion some months ago that the estuaries, coastline and creeks and whatever committee be reinvigorated. There was always a committee, but they just hadn't met for a long time. And councillors will recall Mr. Nelson, Grant Nelson, was our natural resources officer and he had responsibility for that. He was seconded to another agency for a long time before we actually, the end result was that he was employed by them. So the position was sort of held open. So we had no one in terms of staff to get it up and running. But the other part of that initial motion that I put forward that this council adopted was that it be a catchment wide. Because although it was the Nambucca Rivers, Creeks and Estuaries, whatever, virtually all the work that had been done to date, and if you looked at the terms of reference, it was all just about the estuary. And time and time again, I have heard from various groups throughout the Shire that water quality and river health is not... You've got to include the entire catchment. What happens in the upper reaches of the Nambucca River do influence everything all the way down. So at that point in time, part of that resolution, I think, was to review the terms of reference and the membership. And again, with that, so I'm assuming that that's the reason that it's much broader now, is because our staff have reached out to some of the different environmental groups, the river users groups.
Oh, it's very diverse.
Because that was, that was the last meeting that had been held, and there was a request for the Nambucca River Users Group to be part of that committee, and that came to a council meeting. But then there was no further meeting for something like 12 months. Councillor Vance.
Mayor, I chair this committee and there is key members from different groups like New South Wales Farmers come to the meeting. There's about 40 key members, that 40 or 50 that get invited. We've got national parks that come through, land care. So there is a big group, but if she was missed off the list, we'll make sure that she gets put back.
Well, and I suspect Mr. Walsh's staff would have, as a result of that previous motion to reinvigorate that committee, would have reached out and expanded the beyond just people with an interest in the estuary.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. I suppose the point that Mrs. Lawson made, which is, as you well know, she's been involved in this space 50 years, and it's that corporate knowledge. I mean, I think it's a sign of the times that we have a far greater community engagement broadly around the river, the estuary, the whole catchment, the shoreline, which is fantastic, responding to, obviously, a crisis that we face on many levels. But That corporate knowledge is something, I mean, she's got reports in the back room from, you know, 40, 50 years ago that are just, that need to be captured. So I'm glad that she turned up and was invited.
I know Mrs. Lawson, she's essentially an historian in terms of her collection, her knowledge and her collection of documents, including documents that go back to the 1800s.
I'm sure she'd be willing to share that or somehow archive it too, because it would be an important...
If she hasn't been receiving invitations, perhaps if you speak to Mr. Walsh during the week.
She was at this meeting, though, so I'm presuming
she has been invited.
She would have been at the front desk, I'd imagine, because there was a moment where she wasn't invited, so she was at the front desk.
I was just going to say, if she's just turned up to the meeting and wasn't
I'm surprised
actually,
she didn't phone you, Madam Mayor, because my ear's still ringing.
Might have tried and I wasn't home. Okay. Councillors, if there's no other discussion on this item, I'm going to put it. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. There are no late reports, so could I have a motion to go to closed meeting, please? Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Vance. Are there any public written or verbal representations regarding going into closed?
No, Madam Mayor, I have none.
Received none, so those in favour? Against? It's carried. Councillors will now resume in open meeting and I'll ask the General Manager to read the resolutions made in closed.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 12.1, matters regarding realised or potential losses. Moved Councillor Jenvey and seconded Councillor Angel. Council resolved that Council notes the information concerning incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation. And item 12.2, the request for quotation number Q8/2024, supply and delivery of one 11-tonne GVM dual cab tipper truck, resolved on the motion of Councillor Angel and seconded by Councillor Vance, that Council accepts the quotation by Midcoast Trucks Pty Ltd via the request for quotation Q8/2024 for the supply of one 11-tonne GVM dual cab tipper truck in the amount of $210,813, excluding GST.
Okay, thank you. And there being no further business, I'll thank everyone for their attendance and their courtesy and declare the meeting closed.